I might start with something that just happened before we were coming here in the bathroom. There was a little bird outside the window, and it kept banging against the window because it wanted to come inside. Pina said that sometimes the reflection, the bird flies against the window, but it did this for maybe 10 minutes, so it was hurting itself, banging, and there were little marks on the window. And it was a condition for me to think about how lopa, wanting to have something, is harmful. And I wonder if you could say something about the harmfulness of lopa.
Yes, because even at moment of talking or thinking like that, there is lopa.
So please say more about that.
If we talk about the process of seeing, before there is lopa, there must be bhavanga before seeing moment. And when the last bhavanga is gone, and the citta, which is avachana, is there before seeing. This is what we all know about. But seeing or understanding that seeing right now is just a single moment. Think of that, how fast it is. And after that, only three moments, lopa can arise. At that moment, no one knows because it's before the rupa has fallen away. So if we talk about lopa is always there. And we have to understand the four kinds of asava, kamasava, lopa of whatever appears as sensuous object. It can be sound or sight or whatever. And seven moments of one single moment of seeing is there. That's why Buddha always pointed out that lopa must be eradicated too, with wrong understanding. Because when we talk about all aspects of kilesa, akusala dhamma, lopa belongs to all nine group of akusala, see. The others, not all nine, but lopa is all nine. So it's quite difficult to understand the danger of lopa because one is so used to have lopa all day long, all night, or every moment. But by seeing that actually what conditions lopa is moha, no understanding of reality. So instead of trying to have less lopa with the idea of self, that is impossible. It cannot be like that at all. So in order to have less lopa or understand more about lopa, there's only one way to understand moha or whatever appears, because people can ask what is or when is moha. Now, right now, because moha itself cannot understand anything. So can we know what we don't understand? Because even there is moha, and moha cannot understand what it does not understand. So right now we have to look for moha or try to pinpoint where is moha. It's right now, at moment of not knowing the truth of reality, it's right now. And whenever there's moha, there's lobha there too. So don't mind, because otherwise the self is trying again to have less lopa. But what about the understanding of whatever appears now? Because Buddha has enlightened this, just one characteristic at a time. So if we ignore understanding reality which appears, there is no way at all to understand anything which is not self. Like now. Always like now. It's quite a reminder to know that. Why do we study? Just to understand. And without the understanding from the very beginning, it's impossible to have higher understanding. So don't hope, don't wait for anything, just understanding what it's talking about. Just very natural. Because whatever appears is already conditioned. Like it is sankhata, it's already conditioned. So we don't have to look for or to do anything in order to have the understanding of whatever appears. Because even at that moment, reality appears. So it only depends on understanding.
About how understanding can only understand the present moment Ajahn, can you help?
What's your question?
What we were talking about after breakfast. After breakfast.
About now, whisper object or what?
Yeah, must have been about now. Yeah. Could have been anything else.
At the end of the discussion, it was about Indriya.
Indriya, okay. Yeah. It's just a name. As long as there is no understanding of what Indriyas now are, like Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, there are the five-fold Indriya. They cannot be separated when it's the factors of enlightenment which has to be developed to that degree. Because at this moment of understanding whatever is heard now and reality which appears, it cannot be without sati. Sati is there as a factor of citta at that very moment. But it is not strong and keen enough to understand the characteristic of our reality as not self. So, when it's satindariya, it's not only just ordinary pariyati sati. Is there satina? If it's not known, it cannot be satindariya. So all the teachings are not just names, they represent realities. Even Sati and Satindriya and Satipala and Sati Sampochon, different degrees of Sati.
And Ajahn was saying that whether you translate Indriyas as faculties or leaders or anything else, what's important is just understanding how sati and the other factors, samadhi, panya, sada, virya, just have to develop in strength to directly know and be aware of realities, and that is indriya no matter how it's translated.
Asking when there is the sati arises, even just for a very short moment, and maybe even panya, but and then there's avijja comes back again and again and again, and that's when avijja can be seen as how common, how great, how accumulated is. Because it's the only moment when it can be seen as as it really is, as and the long way one has to go to see the extent of it.
It's only the understanding the story of avijja, not the avijja itself. Right now, like seeing, there is seeing, but what about the understanding of seeing, or thinking just about the story of seeing? It's like trying to experience the realities without the developed understanding of prayati. But if you don't hear much about seeing, how can there be conditions to understand it? But one cannot know the accumulation of the understanding of reality until reality appears, and then what level of understanding is there? Like now. Always now. Yeah. And whether there is attachment, like you just said, how can one know? At moment of not understanding, seeing what follows, whether it is the idea of wishing or wanting to know it by this or ideas. So it's not anyone who can try so hard or find the other way or the short way to understanding it. But the understanding of whatever is there now as it's real and it can be known, it can be directly experienced by hearing, considering, by conditions too. The most important is by conditions.
So it can be like the same situation, but there is just that little extra, which is understanding.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Seeing cannot be other reality. Hearing cannot be other reality. It's always like seeing and hearing all the time, at any time. So first of all, there can be the beginning, understanding the moment with or without sati, that's all. Otherwise, how can sati develop?
You know, you said before you wanted to ask more about sati and the Thai expression ra luk or something like this. Maybe you have to explain it a little in English first.
Yes. At the foundation, you spoke about sati as satipatthana, and when the Spaniards sati has to be ra luk, so in English we say is mindful or is aware, and in Thai is sati ra luk. So it was almost time, so I couldn't ask anymore. But it's a bit difficult to understand the characteristic of ra luk, to be aware. Because Panya maybe understands, it's easier in theory to know what it is. But sati, it's harder, which is aware or raluk.
It's impossible to understand sati when sati doesn't arise. It's only thinking about it.
Yeah.
But we can know that there is the pariyati about sati and realities, like there are realities right now. Why there are so many realities? Because citta arises one at a time, and it can experience only a characteristic of an object at a time, right? Like seeing, just see whisper object. So whisper object now appears only to a moment of citta, which sees it. Like now, sound is heard, so it's only the object of hearing, just one hearing at a time. And from hearing this, one realizes that it's impossible to directly experience just one single reality at a time, because all realities arise and fall away in split seconds. What is left is only the mark or nimitta or the sign of everything. That's why in Tipitaka it says that rupa nimitta, the sign or mark of rupa, because now each rupa has arisen and fallen away completely, each one, and never come back at all. But the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away conditioned the mark and the sign that such rupa is like that, like sound, see, or visible object, or smell, or taste, or anything which appears like tangible object. It seems like there is just only moment of touching, but how many kalapas are there with space in between, and it appear not just a single unit of the kalapa. That's why even right now we can say that we are like talking in dream, like sitting here in a dream, thinking every, because of its Dhamma all gone. Like as we wake up, what we dream about is no more. So at moment of being aware or awareness arises, it's not a dream, because the reality arises and appears to awareness. So this is the very big difference between knowing without awareness and knowing with awareness. As long as awareness does not arise yet, it's impossible to imagine what is awareness. But by hearing about realities, there is, let's say, there is touching, right? What about understanding of it? This is very ordinary in everyday life. Just touching, no idea, no understanding. But by hearing and hearing, there can be a moment when hardness appear, like now, hardness is appearing. But hardness appear to ignorance and no awareness. But after hearing a lot, so it can be satyayana, the yana of the truth that it has to be now. Then at that moment, beyond expectation, like usual, but hardness appear, see, like usual. But there is a moment of knowing it as hard. What we touch many times and no attention to hardness at all. But at that moment, without attention or intention, hardness appear. So one can see the distinction between moment of awareness and moment of awareness. Even we don't call it, that is moment of awareness. But how can that appear? Well, or better, or clearer, just a little, because sati is there. So one know that at that moment hardness is patthana, the object of sati, and it depends on panya, whether how much it knows about that. And after that, very short, is there no attachment to just wanting to understand better? So it's not just seeing hardness, it's also understanding sati and also attachment, whatever appear. It seems like they appear together, but in reality, when it's the world of understanding or insight, it is not like now, it's different. Because reality appears just one at a time. So how can that be not like now?
Yes.
It has to be nothing else, nothing at all, no world, no idea about anything, because at that moment a reality appears like it appears to awareness, but clearer than that.
I have been considering a little more about what you said on the radio, that when there is no awareness, when you go to work or are working, the Four Noble Truths cannot be realized. But also when we are not working, it's really difficult and we cannot expect much. I think we cannot expect anything.
Enlightenment can arise anytime, yes, even while one is working. Singing, walking, cooking, or anything.
Yes. But I'm not thinking of enlightenment, I'm thinking more of just Satipatthana.
Even so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no expectation. No. Otherwise, one dares not to do anything because it might hinder the understanding of that object, see?
Yeah.
This is wrong, and it is Silapata Pramasa.
Even when not working or when
anatta,
having a rest.
Anatta. See? Yeah. If we don't forget this word, we can see that wherever and whatever can be object of understanding, because no one can have understanding at will. Even right now, there can be right awareness by conditions or no awareness by conditions. By this way, there can be the understanding of anatta-ness better.
Am I understanding correctly that there can be moments of awareness where there is some level of understanding, but not necessarily the level of direct understanding of a reality?
Are you talking about the sati which arises with all other kusala without satipatthana?
No.
Or are you talking about pariyatti when it's
no,
understanding
no,
but not
no,
direct?
No, I'm talking about moments. Can there be a moment of sati?
At what level?
Well, I guess if it's not the level of directly understanding a reality.
So now, at moment of understanding, intellectually, there must be sati.
Right.
But who knows? Intellectual understanding is not the direct understanding.
Right, right. So if there is direct understanding with a moment of sati, then understanding would know the reality, the characteristic of the reality.
When one says that it's the direct understanding, it means that sati at level of satipatthana.
Right. Okay. And anything lower than that level, would one still know there was a moment of sati?
Because there are two different kind of sati.
Yes.
One intellectual.
Yes.
The other is direct.
Yes.
Only two.
So if it were the level of intellectual understanding, one would not necessarily know there was a moment of sati.
At the moment. The direct awareness does not arise.
Right.
That's why it's impossible to understand that characteristic which is direct understanding.
Right, or sati at that moment.
But mm-hmm. That's what pariyatti is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And just following on from that, so I wonder if you would explain a little bit more about intellectual sati. What is the object? Is it, if sati arises at the intellectual level, is it the object concept?
At moment of dana, if sati does not arise, no thinking about giving away at all. But
yes.
Who knows that sati is there?
Going back to what Anne was asking
only
about,
the intellectual understanding that sati must be there.
Oh, okay. So it's not actually sati.
No.
It's not sati. I'm sorry, I misunderstood, and that's why I was puzzled about that.
At that moment, it's
thinking about reality, thinking there must be sati there, so it's right understanding at intellectual level, like now we're talking about visible object. If it's not direct understanding of visible object, it's pariyatti, right understanding about, at this moment, the concept of that reality. Yes. So it's a concept of the reality.
I just heard something that I thought.
But there would be a level of sati there that was not the level of satipatthana.
Sati arises with every wholesome citta.
Yes.
So
yes.
At a moment of dana, a moment of sila, a moment of intellectual study, a moment of satipatthana, it must be sati, but just different degrees and kinds.
But and I think before the moment of direct understanding of realities, where the characteristics is clear, I think there must be other moments when it's not that clear. Otherwise, it cannot be built up.
And would there be awareness of those characteristics when they weren't that clear?
It's getting closer, right?
Yeah. Although we might not know it as such.
I'm sorry, you are talking about sati at level of...
Yeah, I was saying to Anne that before satipatthana arises and know the characteristic of reality clearly, there must be other moments when it starts to become aware of the characteristics, but not that clearly.
Like we just said, that usually in daily life there are moments of touching, and at moment of touching, who knows that characteristic which is hard, it passes off rapidly, that not even noticing about it at all, like taking this, there's hardness appearing but no attention, only this as what, see? But at moment when there more and more understandings of realities as not self, like seeing now, just hearing and hearing again and again about seeing, even seeing is now sees, but not much understanding of a characteristic which is not self, it only sees, that's all. And it keeps in mind all the time about seeing, but not enough understanding of it. But when there is more and more understanding, even right now there's seeing, at that moment it's not attending to other reality, only what is seeing and what is seen now. So at that very moment you see that it's different. Like when you touch and the hardness appear, it's different from you think about what is touched. So when the characteristic of a reality appear, not as usual, just very little, you know why? It's different because awareness, direct awareness is there unknowingly. You don't have to name it. You don't have to expect to have it, but it's there. The understanding can see the difference when there is awareness and when there is no awareness. And this is the only starting point for awareness to develop, because it knows that there is a characteristic and there is attention to that characteristic with awareness. And then everything's gone. It depends on what else will arise after attachment or aversion, not having it as much as one'd like to. Or waiting to have more. Not to leave it because it's only a reality, not different from other realities at all.
So the dream is very deep.
Very, very deep. Because there are many levels too. Like when one sleeps and one dreams, everyone knows that it's dreaming. But even at moment of being aware, it's not just like the dream that we usually dream. But since it arises and falls away and never come back, it's like a dream even that moment.
Yes.
And after that, it says in Tipitaka that nama and rupa is not real, and what is real is nibbana, stage by stage. Real in that sense that it's not permanent, because it arises and falls away. So no one can have it after it has fallen away. So it's just like a dream, not real.
I'm afraid nama rupa are not real, only nibbana is real. People of Mahayana stress that a lot, and
with
maybe with another meaning.
With understanding or without that's understanding?
It. Yeah, they think, because nama rupa is not real at all.
No matter Mahayana or Theravada, they read Tipitaka,
yeah,
but with
yeah.
different understandings.
I remember on the list.
Real in the sense that it arises and it's gone, so how can you have it as a real
you
thing?
Have
yeah.
It, yeah.
Sankata.
Yes, sankata is all conditioned realities, citta, cetasikas, and rupas, but only nibbana is a sankata and vi sankara dhamma.
Hung, your turn. So Ajahn was talking about work and sati and how if we have an idea of there's no sati at work, then it's big hindrance. It's kind of like sila bhata paramasa, because there's an idea of special time or special place. But you were mentioning yesterday in our discussion that it seems that there's no study or no sati at all at work. Would you like to add a little more?
Are we working now? Are we working now?
She does.
Are we? What are you working now? What
it's
are you working
thinking.
Now? So are we working now? Does sati arise now? See? No matter one is working or not working at all.
But I think it seems clearer and more understanding when I listen to Ajahn here, and after that when I come back, go back to for work. So it's difficult with the awareness.
Even leaving this room, it's gone, what you heard. Or even not yet, going out, you think about other things that is not understanding, like you just understand. That's why everything just arises and falls away and never come back. See the sound? It arises and falls away, no more. Everything is like that.
It seems that because you have a pleasant feeling here and not pleasant feeling in the office, no different.
Not at all. Is rupa different? Is citta different? Is cetasika different?
Mm-hmm.
And avicca is different from vicca. Not understanding is different from understanding. But not understanding or avicca anywhere is the same. And understanding anywhere, anytime is the same.
But it seems more attachment and aversion.
Is there no attachment now? Anytime when they're seeing, anytime when there is hearing, thinking, all the time.
Mm.
when you said that it seems that there's more understanding when you listen to the teaching, so what the understanding understands about?
Understand in theory about reality, what is heard, Ramacha.
And about what? What is heard?
Is it that you think there's more opportunity to think about the Dhamma when you are not in your office?
Yes.
Yeah. Still thinking. Mm-hmm. And there can be conditions for thinking about the Dhamma to arise anywhere. If there are conditions, it will arise in the office or anywhere.
And lopa is always there.
I think it's always useful to consider the three rounds. You have been talking so much about it. And someone also said that the word firm is used in this connection. Satchanyana, kichanyana, and katanyana.
How can one know whether it is the kichanyana or the satchanyana?
Firm.
Yes, we talk about the word firm. But when sati does not arise at all, is it firm enough? No. So one can understand that hearing and understanding is satyayana when it can condition direct awareness. Otherwise, how can we know that it's firm enough?
Yes.
That's why the satyayana leads to kichayana, and kichayana leads to katayana. It doesn't mean that katayana first, and then kichayana, and then satyayana.
As I understood, when there is kichayana, satyayana still goes on.
Three rounds.
Yeah.
Of the Four Noble Truths, so altogether 12.
Yes.
Is now satyayana of the first Ariya Satya? Because there are four Ariya Satya, and satyayana must have satyayana of the four, and kichayana of the four, and katayana of the four, altogether 12. So now beginning from the first Noble Truth, Dukkha Satya, is there satyayana of Dukkha Satya right now?
It means Dukkha. Dukkha,
the arising and falling away of realities, so not yet.
So that it must be firm understanding about seeing now arises and fall away.
Yes.
Otherwise we ignore seeing. While Buddha said that all dharmas should be known, otherwise there cannot be the eradication of the idea of self at all. Because now who sees?
Like the other day we were talking, well, we've had one or two conversations about even seeing now as being unsatisfactory, as being dukkha, and this is First Noble Truth. So understanding it's seeing now which is unsatisfactory, no matter here or work, because I think that if one has an idea of easier now or harder at work or another situation, it's not the satchanyana, which is really firm to understand that understanding and awareness has to be at this moment, regardless of time and place and situation, because seeing is impermanent, unsatisfactory, anytime, anywhere, and so less thinking in terms of the particular place or situation and more in terms of the actual reality to be known at this moment, regardless. And that's why, when, for example, yesterday afternoon, Ajahn was asking us about Aramana Upanisya Pachya and Aramana Pachya and Aramana Adipati Pachya, etc. It has to be understanding now, otherwise it can never be firm. If we wait until it's clear at lunchtime or at work, it's not this moment. So this is what I understand Satchanyana to be the firm confidence and understanding of reality right now. Because it's only that understanding of like seeing or any reality now that will condition the direct understanding. But if we're thinking of not now or this is too hard, it's like putting off or like some wrong practice creeping in.
And Satchanyana of the path is, I heard that you said, this is the right path and we and no deviation anymore, like taking things for self, taking understanding for self, then we deviate from the right path, but we don't notice it, that we take our discussing or thinking, considering awareness for self, then we are not on the right path and not the firm understanding of the path yet.
When there is the understanding of anatta-ness, it begins to be the right path.
Yes.
Otherwise, one will try to do other way instead of understanding about anatta-ness.
Yes.
What do you have for breakfast today? Aramana Tipati.
Yes, as you mentioned that just now, I just feel pain. So we know by theory that at the moment, pain is actually bodily unpleasant feeling which arises with like touching consciousness. But it seems like the feeling becomes predominant. So at that moment, it's also aramano atipati.
You like? You want to experience more?
No, yeah. Only when it's pleasant. Mm. But so in the case of pleasant, would that be...
Do we have to think about all aramanatipati and aramanupanisya? Only when time comes, there can be moment of knowing the anatta-ness of even liking or disliking at that very moment.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we should cling to developing or understanding the book.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding only. Because it doesn't help at all. You can recite the whole book without understanding of that very moment. But when there is the understanding of that moment, you see that no control, no selection, is only conditioned by accumulations. It's better than make it long, long story. If you like, then you can read and can understand that. But what about forget or not forget it? And what shouldn't be forgotten?
That it's anatta-ness.
A reality right now. Because it does not appear as a reality yet. It always appears something all the time.
It's very useful. Tenzin said, each word in the Tipitaka is about now. Even aramana tipati is always about now. Each word is not in the book, so it should be known about now in daily life.
That was going to be my question, because you say that. To study each word that we read. To understand each word.
As much as you can.
Okay, that's the answer. Thank you.
No one can understand the whole Tipitaka, one book. It's impossible.
And
just going to say at breakfast you can see everyone's, what is Aramunupan is here, Pachya, for each person by what they take and like, and even for little Jet, what she finds so delicious, and you can see that attachment to those particular objects accumulating in this way.
You may have talked about this while I was out, I'm not sure, but Aramana Tibidi Pachaya, that's where the object is a pleasant object.
So it holds your mind.
It holds your mind. But is it a pleasant object for everyone, or if it is it just a pleasant
you,
object
just
for
you,
just
you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Just one citta.
Right. And then if that is strong enough, it can become Aramana Upanisaya.
This is the way to explain the nothingness of everything. Mm-hmm. Each move is like.
I think that when it's Aramana Upanisaya Pachaya, it may not be a very special object like the rice soup. Maybe we just develop a liking for that rice soup. It's not that the rice soup is anything so special, the rupas, but that attachment to that object or that taste develops. But when it's Aramana Adipati, it has to be the special object, like for example when looking at the full moon at Gangrajan, we look at the moon and then later there's that image or thinking about that image, and it can become Aramana Upanisaya. There can be the attending and thinking and liking to it of it.
So, Ashang, when you mentioned about the right path starts at the moment when there's understanding of anatta-ness, so from what I've understood from hearing you, it has to be very precise. Is it the anatta-ness of the realities, just not the word anatta-ness? Because otherwise we can think, okay, we understand anatta-ness, but if it's not precise that what is appearing now is anatta, then it's not the moment of the right path, right?
It must be the beginning before it can become clear.
But it needs to be precise, because I heard a lot of people say, okay, anatta, anatta. But if it's not, it doesn't have something to do with seeing now or hearing now.
It means that they understand only the word, but no understanding of the characteristic which is anatta.
So you said for beginners, it should begin. So that is useful for us to hear more about that.
There must be beginning for everything, like for direct awareness or intellectual understanding. Yes. For example, we hear many words like citta, citta-sika, paramadhamma, and abhidhamma, and then we hear pachya, and we hear about the aramana tipati pachya, aramana upanisaya pachya, always new. How many pachyas are there?
24 classes.
Who know all? I mean now here. You know the names, see? But what about the understanding? So it doesn't mean that we should remember all the names and the number, but at the moment when there can be the understanding of reality as not self, it can be conditioned for more and more understanding of that characteristic of not self. Just like a reminder, only that. Not just looking more about each chapter or each pachya. What are the 24? See? Only aramana pachya, hetu pachya, sahachata pachya, sambayuta pachya. See? This is the way to understand reality, not by remembering the names.
Phil, after Phil went back to Japan, he said, okay, well, now he understands more better that Pariyatti is about understanding reality now, not just labels and terms and names and book studies, but then he's not sure about whether he should read Nina's book on Chaitasikas or this or that, and if he doesn't read and learn about these different names and details, then he won't follow what you're saying, and how will he know when it's Aramunupanisiapachya now if he's never read and studied about it? So this is...
never enough reading, hearing, considering. You can ask him, is that enough?
I think that there's a very common tendency to always find something to do. When we hear anything, then say, oh, this is good, so what I should do, or this is not good, so I should not do. But at those times, only the self. It's a very common...
But that's not the right way to study or to hear about the teachings, just for the sake of understanding only. And one realizes that there's so much not to understand. With only understanding can understand that, because there's so many things that cannot be understood.
And when you say never enough reading and understanding and considering, it has to be reading, understanding, considering, studying of reality now, because otherwise, if it's just reading details or considering the details, but it's not about now, like you were saying about the conditions, then actually it will never be understood, I think.
So what's the purpose of reading? And what is reading, in fact? Understanding the word or what you read. It does mean that remember the sound and be able to read like children.
So it seems that unless there, as Khun Metta said, unless there is understanding of, at some level of the present moment of daily life, then the words in the book will never really be clearly understood.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything then.
Yes, but it seems that it's backwards and forwards from reading and then the understanding that is in the present moment at whatever level, and then maybe reading the same thing again and it is different, because there is a different kind of understanding.
It depends on understanding.
Yes. So the test is always in the present. Yeah. In the present.
So the most dangerous thing that people don't think about is when there is not the right understanding of what one read, it will lead to wrong and wrong understanding.
Yes, like the example of that nama and rupa are not real, but nibbana is real, then one has really wrong understanding of that.
So if we just say, read more, study more, it doesn't
understanding
really...
more.
Understanding more. Right? It's really the understanding. We also understand that the Dhamma has to be heard repeatedly, frequently, in order for understanding to be conditioned. But it seems to me that we can't say that if there's more reading and more attending discussions, that there'll necessarily be more understanding. It depends on so many conditions.
I think I've heard you say it, reading with understanding, study with understanding.
Like nama, rupa, dhamma.
Without reading without understanding does not help. Even a little bit of understanding helps.
So what's the purpose of reading?
For the sake of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Not for me. See, just for understanding.
By conditions one would read. Everything, right.
But the understanding is conditioned, so when there is enough condition, you will understand, have no other choice, so don't, how can I say, the understanding is also conditioned. So when there is enough condition for the understanding, you will have to understand, it cannot be other.
Conditioned dharma, so no one can have understanding, so, no one can make it happen, no one can...
So anytime that anyone eager to reach or eager to understand, so that leads to nothing.
Just more attachment. If it's just wanting to understand, trying to understand, just leads to more attachment and the following of the wrong path, not the right path. Because it's still trying to do something. Self is still there.
Eagerness is also conditioned. And again, that eagerness is also conditioned, and it's been accumulated also for a long time. So even now, if we understand that eagerness doesn't lead to understanding, it cannot stop eagerness to arise.
Understanding can recognize when it arises, can help recognize when it arises. So it's not, as you say, it's not stopping the wishing, the eagerness, the trying to work it out. It's the understanding when it arises, and that it is silabhata paramasa.
I'd like to ask a little more about metta and my favorite topic at the moment, about the washing away and the sucharita through body, speech and mind as condition for awareness, and about how if the kalesa, the defilements are so strong, then no conditions for awareness. And when you refer to the sucharita, the good deeds through body, speech and mind, so we know could condition through body, generosity or helping others or paying respect, anything, or speech, good speech. And when you talk about sucharita through the mind, are you just referring to understanding or
non-attachment?
Okay, so when you talk about good deeds, actually it's all wholesome states that are being referred to. So all kinds of kusala, whether motivating speech or deeds or not. So just all wholesomeness. And in this example, are you talking about all kinds of wholesomeness with understanding?
It comes to the question, what's the purpose of life? What's your purpose in this life?
Well, as we've said, the only purpose of any value is understanding.
Okay.
Understanding now, that's it.
What for?
Understanding for the sake of understanding that will lead to the eradication of all kalesa.
So it means that you see the danger of all akusala. So it can lead to the sucharita.
Right. See? So it's the understanding that leads to the sucharita, so the understanding in the beginning of
what is right and what is harmful in life. Sucharita. Su means good, as in suchin, good spoken, good words. Su, good. Charita, deeds, so good actions. And I was just asking, because when we think in English of deeds, we think of something done, but here, when it's sucharita through body, speech and mind, I was just clarifying what good deeds through the mind mean, but it's referring to all kinds of kusala. Anything else, Metta, to ask about it?
Going to explain to Hai. She asked me about what sucharita tree is. I told her it's right speech and right action and right thinking. Yeah.
I think it's helpful because maybe otherwise one hears about, oh, just the value of doing good deeds and good speech and, you know, taking care of one's friends and family and this kind of thing. But it's only if it is motivated by understanding in the first place that really sees the value of kusala and the harm of akusala, including taking such dharmas for self, that it really prompts the all kinds of kusala, but without it being self that is doing such kusala, just conditioned dharmas. So it's different when it's motivated by understanding that it's the purpose of life. Life is really just for understanding.
So, the sucharita, and when we say body, speech, and mind, does it have to be at the level of mind before it will happen through speech and body and action? It has to be at the level of mind first, or no order?
I think it has. There has to be understanding from the beginning. So it's good deeds through body, speech and mind, developing with right understanding. This is the point we clarified yesterday.
A deed through body or speech is motivated by the mind. Yeah, but then when we say body, speech or mind, the third one refers to deeds that are mental only and don't manifest through body or speech.
And the quote I gave yesterday that Ajahn said was that in the beginning, when maybe understanding begins to develop, that if the akusala, the unwholesomeness, is so strong, it cannot lead to, there cannot be the direct understanding of realities, because one's so obsessed or absorbed by other objects other than the reality which appears. So it's only when the understanding leads to more sucharita, more good deeds through body, speech and mind, so the kilesa are not so strong that there can be the beginning of understanding of realities directly. What about your point yesterday about hell planes? And you said there'd been a lot of discussion about hell planes and why it's discussed.
No, I heard on the radio so many quotations about the hell planes. But I think that the purpose is to see the danger of akusala, to what it can lead. But when we hear about it, we get scared. We get afraid.
But not scared of lobha, dosa, and moha. Not being scared of lobha, dosa, and moha.
Yeah.
with the idea of helpless.
At that dosa, it is at the moment it's dosa.
It's dosa, yeah.
Which is of accumulated.
Yeah.
From moment to moment.
Yeah.
And it will lead to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember that Lorek was so scared of Yama. He often spoke to me, the Yama, the one who guards the, how to say, he makes people go to hell, Yama. Yama, Y-A-M-A. A name.
Oh. Which language are we talking about?
Pali?
Oh,
yeah.
Y-A-M-A.
A guardian. So Peter always talked a lot about that. You know that sutta, when Yama asked, my good man, did you not see a sick person and you never helped? So no hope for him. So could you say anything more about the helpfulness of helplings or keeping that in mind?
Understanding will save you.
Yeah. Understanding will save us. It's true. Yeah. And when there is not enough understanding, yeah.
I can remember in one of your early books where you quoted about how we frighten ourselves by looking at a frightening picture and then thinking about it and remembering it.
Yeah.
So we don't even need something to frighten us. We can frighten ourselves.
Understanding will help, but no point in dwelling on all the sick people we haven't helped in the past. Too many to think about.
In our informal discussion yesterday, I can't remember who brought it up, but one or two people wanted to discuss more or hear more about what you had mentioned on Saturday about how in the beginning the characteristic of sati is known and panya is not strong enough, so it doesn't appear. But when panya develops, it's the characteristic of panya that appears rather than sati. And there was a little more discussion. Would anyone like to take it up?
Does sati appear now? Does understanding appear now?
No.
Not at all, not any. Otherwise, if panya is so keen, it's not necessary to develop panya. One thing is that when there is some understanding, do we want to have more? Or when there is the understanding, it's all right, because there can be more understanding from hearing and considering. See?
I think what it was at the very end of the discussion, we were talking about when visible object appears, and the question was whether it's known whether sati is there. And Nina and I were saying, well, if visible object's the object, that's it, just visible object. And you were saying it's known whether sati is there or not. And I think, Nina, you said you'd like to hear more about
that there is only one object at a time, so a visible object appear, sati does not appear, but it can appear later. It can be the object of understanding after that, later on.
But how can one know whether there is sati or no sati if sati doesn't arise?
Mm-hmm.
It's like seeing and hearing right now. You said that it has to appear one at a time, right? because hearing is not seeing and seeing is not hearing. But what about now? What arises first? Which one? Hearing, seeing? So when sati and right understanding arise, who knows? That right understanding so keen that it can understand instantly that's not self. Impossible. But the characteristic of sati begins to appear. That how can the object appear like that? Like hardness.
And you said so that it is then more clear, more...
Like
a little different from ordinary.
Like language. Touching now.
Yeah.
Is it clear? The object? Clear, hardness? Or we know the hardness like Kaya Vinyana in daily life, only that. And one might say, is it so hard? Then you can say, it's so hard, it's very hard, but it's still the only Kaya Vinyana, which experiences that. It's not the different moment when sati is there as a reality. Hardness, even is so short, not as so hard, but it's a reality. Begin to be struck by such moment as is hard. And then it go on. Only hardness appear at that moment. Until when it's vipassana jnana, clear comprehension. It's not like this world. Because now the world comprises many, many things like visible object and sound and hardness and thinking. But at that moment, nothing except only that. So it's different. See, beginning from attending or being aware of hardness with some understanding as a reality. Because usually it's not a reality. It is always something. Pain, table, chair.
Even when we don't think of a table or a chair, it can still be not object of sati.
Okay. What about your hand?
I may not think of my hand at all.
But deeply? Whose hand?
Deeply, mm-hmm. You say?
You didn't have to think that it's my hand.
No.
But whose?
Without words you said before, you explained. Yeah.
So even it's just hard, nothing appear, it's my hand.
Even if you don't think
because
it out,
the idea of self is not eradicated.
Yeah.
So it's there, taking it as something. So when one asks about the wrong understanding or the clinging to the idea of me or self or mind, at that very moment it does not appear. Like pasa does not appear, even there's pasa now, right? Yeah. Does vedana appear? Even there is vedana now. So at that very moment when, whether or not there is the attachment to the idea of self, but is it there? Who can tell? Because at lopa, mula citta, citta with lopa, can have mitchatiti, wrong view, or doesn't accompanied by wrong view at all. It's just only guessing, assuming all the time, because one knows that there are 8 types of lopa, mula citta. But at the time when wrong understanding or the idea of self is there, at that time you cannot deny or you cannot just imagine or assuming or think about that it's there, because the characteristic of wrong understanding is there. The clinging is there as me. So you understand what is meant by sakkaya ditti, not just attana ditti. When people sit and they think that it's right, all right, to understand the sitting posture. Whose posture? See, no way to get rid of the idea of my posture or my body at all. But when it's not that, just assuming that it's me sitting, even the hardness somewhere in the body appears. And when it's clear comprehension, it knows that ditti is there to be eradicated. Even it does not appear as arms or legs, but it's hard. Like here is hard, but we take that hardness from my leg. But when it's clear comprehension of hardness, wrong understanding or clinging that hardness as my leg is still there, to be known that that is wrong understanding. That is mitchatiti or sakkayatiti. Because it's not just the other hardness that you usually do not take it for self.
You mean the outside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at this
so
point,
the outside is attanuditi,
yeah,
and the inside is sakkayaditi.
This is an important point when you said when there is clear comprehension, it sees that there is ditti, but when
and
there
it sees lopa and it sees everything as it is.
Yeah, and if there is not, it cannot be eradicated at all. So this is so important. This point.
How many vipassana jnanas are there?
It depends how we count. Many stages. If we also count moments of enlightenment, I don't know the numbers really.
Not 20, not 5.
Now you've just been talking about hardness, but the same would apply for visible object.
Anything, as me or mine.
When there is seeing of what we take for my body.
Can you experience the other seeing?
The other's seeing? Mm-hmm. No.
See. So it has to be yours.
Right. But I'm just asking about when there is seeing of what I take for my body as opposed to seeing of an object. Is there any difference in the wrong view? You are talking about the deep wrong view that applies there.
In reality, visible object is appearing only, right? Oh. But me, he, she. Yeah, visible object. But no understanding as just visible object.
Right. But how about the sakkayaditti and attanuditti at those moments?
Yeah, when you do not take it for I or me, is she or her or this or that.
And is there any difference in the intensity of what I take for me as compared to what
okay.
I take for it or
okay.
her or him?
Is this me?
No.
Is this you?
No.
So this is attanuditti. Is this me?
No.
Attanuditti.
Right.
Is this me?
You, that's you. But
yes,
you.
So it's sakkayaditti.
And is the characteristic of sakkayaditti any different to the characteristic
no
of attanuditti?
No different at all, exactly the same. 20 attanuditti, 20 sakkayaditti.
Could you just clarify what Ajahn said? Did she mean that when we take ourselves as self, it's the same as taking someone else as something?
Yes.
Is that what that meant, or if it didn't mean that, could you clarify, please?
I think she was saying that there's a different name applies to something else rather than oneself. But that the characteristic is the same.
Hardness.
here, yes. Same as hard yes, as here, right. But this one's taken for a thing, this is taken for me, but yes. The characteristic is just the same.
Shall we take a break? 10:40 now.
Break.
Okay, for stretching. Are you sorry? We have break. No time for discussion. No, this is the way life is, and all adhammas. So we do not regret at all. That's the way, because that moment can be understood any time, depending on conditions only, not just the proper time that you wish or think that it has to be that way. Otherwise, one cannot see the accumulation that one has had.
Ajahn, I think what you're saying is that we have expectations that certain circumstances are better conditioned for understanding Dhamma or awareness than others, and that expectation or is really a hindrance to the arising of awareness. And if there was, say, a moment of disappointment because the discussion was finished and no chance, that would that be possibly wrong view? That was
wrong practice.
Wrong practice. Yeah.
Because wrong view is always there. Like the shadow, always follow.
You say wrong view is always there. You're not just talking about the anusya, you're talking about the asava.
I talk about anusya too.
Anusya.
Yeah. Because asava can be kamasava or avichasava
or
pavasava.
But when you're talking about, well, it's wrong practice because wrong view is always there, you're talking about anusya and asava, and you say it's always there.
It depends on at that very moment. You think that it hinders the understanding, but actually it's not at all.
Right, it's just the view that's just the wrong view that's hindering.
So perhaps we can see how our discussions are just like the raft that Buddha talked about to get to the other side of the river. But the raft is not, the raft itself is not understanding. Raft, under the idea of the raft, the Dhamma is like the raft.
What you take for self is the raft, the whole.
No, I think in this case the Buddha was saying that there is something that helps us reach the far shore of understanding, but that we should not be attached to that. Can you help up with that?
When we get to the goal already. Otherwise, you still need it.
You still need the raft, that's right. The raft is not necessary when there is understanding. But just like the discussion,
the raft and the means or the middle path should be the same.
Yes.
People think it's the raft that has to be given away, but actually it's the attachment to the path, the attachment to the way that has to be abandoned.
I believe the raft in that case refers to the right teaching, isn't it? When the Buddha used that simile, does it refer to the right teaching?
I understand it to refer to the right teaching, the right path, but the attachment to that path has to be eradicated. It's not the teaching or the path that is to be abandoned, but the attachment to it.
So, Ajahn, you were speaking about being attached to the discussion. So, if we're attached to the discussion, there'll be regret about a break.
Mm-hmm.
takes me back to the discussions that we had with Hung about being at work and being discussions. And I think it's helpful when you think that whatever to be understood, whether you are in a discussions like this or you are at work, it's only the characteristics of what appears, and there's never any lacking of characteristics, whatever you are doing or in whatever mind states. So if we forget that it is the characteristic that should be understood, then we think that it's different.
No characteristics of reality arise. Yes, almost the time at work. Seeing, but no. I mean that no, it's almost forgotten at work about the reminder.
What about now, not at work? Do you have awareness?
No.
So what is the difference?
No, I mean that it's opportunity to listen to Ajahn to understand more about now.
And in Vietnam?
Almost forgot.
No opportunity? No tape? No book? Or what?
Listening to the discussion now, it doesn't mean that you will always have kusala citta arise. You could think about many, many things, problem at home, or think about your friend and stuff. So it doesn't really matter in a sense where you are. Okay, you might think that sitting here and listening to Ajahn, there's more opportunity. But it could be a wrong thinking, you know, because it doesn't mean it will happen, right? You know, so it's the same thing. And because we don't have enough panya to really know that, that any time, you know, anywhere you can study Dhamma, any characteristic of that Dhamma arise, you know. So I think one has to listen more and discuss more.
Where you are, you are listening to Thanachan now, or when you're going back to Vietnam, at work or any situation, they are always seeing, hearing, thinking. See, the reality should be known in daily life. Yeah.
I think Hung agrees with that and understands that already, but what she's saying is that in practice, in actual fact, awareness doesn't arise at a work situation. Not because she thinks it can't, but just because she's saying it doesn't happen to arise. Whereas when she's taking part in discussions like this, then things are a little bit clearer than other times.
So the benefit is the understanding from discussing.
Tom, how about asankaraka and sasankaraka and yokes from yesterday?
Yesterday I asked questions about asankarika and sasankarika because there was the idea of the citta which is weak, or the kusala which is weak, when first someone mentioned about the moments of dana, but without any understanding. And is it motivated by a kusala, like thinking that, okay, I'm going to give this in order to get something back? So it was explained at that moment that the citta, kusala citta, is very weak. So it reminded me of the explanation that asankarika is the citta which is stronger than the citta which is sasankarika. So I asked the question, and then I was reminded again that because there's no way to know that this moment or at every moment, is it asankarika or sasankarika? So those questions that we cannot have any direct understanding or beginning of understanding, then it's quite useless, and it can be a kind of yoke. So that was. Mm-hmm.
and I'm happy with that.
It's okay. And then there was that, the follow on about, well, if the dhyana is weak because it's more motivated by attachment, and then whether it can condition rebirth with no roots and similar.
So now your question and the answer is sasankarika or asankarika?
Sankarika.
Thinking about it when it's gone. Sure, sasankarika?
No, we should know directly, but because
why
we knew about the description. Because we knew by, we know by theory that when it's prompted.
What prompts?
From other external. External.
What external?
I would not ask that question now, but because...
Because at that moment it cannot be known. Mm-hmm. So we just talk and think about sasangrikang and asangkaripang. But when something appears, and you know that that is sasankarika. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go out now? If someone said, please, go with me. Would you like to?
It depends.
See? Who knows?
Only when that arises, mm-hmm. you know.
That's why whatever arises, we can talk just a little bit about it. Like Aramanathipati or Aramanupanisya or Sasankharika or anything. Otherwise, it's not time to really understand it because it's not there.
A question about rupa. Rupa is conditioned by four things: kama, citta, ahara, and utu.
Not all together, one at
no,
a time.
No, one at a time. So when rupa is conditioned by citta.
Mm-hmm. Now you are talking.
And
what condition then?
Well, my question is it the cittas that condition rupa, they are either gusala or agusala,
mm-hmm.
or in the
seeing cannot condition any movement of the body or speech,
or the next
yeah,
three
only gusala jitta and agusala jitta,
okay.
And sometimes also manotuvara vachana, but you cannot know that. What that can be known is not taught in Sutta, is only in Abhidhamma term.
When you say that the rupa, which has only one condition for its arising at a time, so for example, I sense now, it's
mm-hmm.
only conditioned by kama,
right.
Never by utu or...
Mm-hmm. Different one.
Mm-hmm.
Just only one condition for each one.
And the breath is only conditioned by citta.
Breath.
Breath.
Yeah.
And one of the eight separable, inseparable rupas, ocha.
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 Cha.
Ocha.
Yes.
Would you talk more about it?
What did you eat? Why do you eat?
And when, because it's an everywhere, so even when I'm not eating,
mm-hmm.
it's there.
So it cannot condition any rupa when it's not eaten.
Mm. Okay.
Nutriment,
yeah.
Ocha, nutriment,
mm-hmm.
like in each kalapa, so in each group, like even in the chen, each group
mm-hmm.
of rupas, there is nutriment, so it's not
nutriment that conditions rupas of the body, but for the ant
mm-hmm.
or the worm maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is uttu. It's conditioned by uttu, by
yes.
temperament.
Yes.
Temperature.
All the rupas outside the body are only ever conditioned by temperature.
Okay. And
so
what about
in the body, one of four conditions, temperature, citta, nutriment,
mm-hmm.
or karma, but outside the body only temperature.
So what about the trees that take fruit from...
Only conditioned by temperature, all the rupas.
Okay.
Only that living beings.
Arise together with ocha. But did we say earlier that ocha arises in the same kalapa as other rupas?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But conditioned by temperature.
Right.
Okay.
So the vegetables we eat, conditioned by temperature, but they contain nutriment.
So the rupas conditioned by gamma, for example, I sense all of the rupas arising or throughout life, those rupas are only ever conditioned by gamma. Is that correct?
What group of rupa? What kalapa? We have to...
Well, the kalapa
mm-hmm.
of eye sense.
Yes.
But which one you're asking me? Of eye sense.
When you talk about the whole body.
The
eye sense is one type of kalapa, kamajarupa. Is it 11 kalapa of 11 rupa?
Ten. Eight, and then the Chakkhupasatha and Chivitindriya.
Yeah.
All groups conditioned by karma must have Chivitindriya. So the eye base is 10, ear base is 10, must be Chivitindriya plus the eye sense and the ear sense.
So I guess I'm asking about, and the question's answered anyway. You asked me what kalapa. So
because you talk about the whole body, but we have to talk about one kalapa in the body.
Okay, so it has to be that kalapa that has jivitindriya.
When it's conditioned
by
gamma.
Gamma. Throughout life, it's
uh-huh.
always gamma.
So the kalapa, which is conditioned by citta, uttu, and ahara, has to have the jivitindriya.
It's interesting because, like, now if I touch the two hands like this, so even though there's body sense here and here, but at one moment only hardness here, hardness experienced by body consciousness, and then at another moment is it... body consciousness here experiences a hardness or hot here. It's interesting.
But you see that a single kalapa cannot be experienced
mm-hmm.
because all experiences must be nimitta of the rupa and nimitta of vijnana as well.
Yeah. Can you say more?
So now, what experiences hardness? Vijnana nimitta, and what
mm-hmm.
is hardness, which is experienced, the nimitta of hardness.
And vijnana nimitta?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, how many moments of seeing? Single one?
Uncountable.
Exactly the same as moment of experience is hardness.
Mm-hmm. So it's nimitta of vijnana.
Right, mm-hmm. always nimitta of vijnana. Sampatichanna santirana votapana, see? A moment.
And vijnana nimitta can become object also.
anything can be object of understanding.
Just getting back to Hang's question and the general thing of awareness appearing to be more likely to arise in certain situations. Obviously, there's nothing that can be done about that, but is it really just a matter of waiting for awareness? Not waiting, but is it really just a matter that awareness is not sufficiently developed? And when it is more developed, then it arises in all different situations without
having expectation. Expect it now. Useless.
And yet if one's in a situation where awareness has arisen before, then expectation is likely to arise. Can't help it, it's anatta.
I really wonder whether what one takes to be awareness when one listening to the Dhamma is real awareness, because if it's real awareness, it should be understood as anatta. So at that moment, there should be also understanding that it's really anatta, isn't it?
Yes, at that moment. And then the next moment, there can be expectation. So in fact, there can be awareness and expectation actually arising alternately. Or awareness and attachment to awareness arising alternately.
Yeah. Oh, I actually, in my understanding, I think that is it more likely to be like when you discuss like this, there's some understanding of intellectual levels, and of course there's likely to be more kusala and more pleasant feelings, and there might be some mistaking that to be like more kusala or more awareness than in situations outside, rather than the precise moments of awareness.
Always possible.
Yes.
Now, talk about at the moment of understanding itself from eager to know, wanting to know, and also self from aversion and ignorance.
At breakfast this morning, we were talking about seeing an invisible object and thinking about the visible object that's seen and how experiencing visible object is followed immediately by thinking. And the question was asked, I think, as to how there can be awareness of the visible object if there's so much thinking. There's a lot more thinking all the time about the visible object that arises. Could you say a few words about that, John?
So what's the question?
The question is, if moment of seeing is followed by many, many moments of thinking immediately,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that while there can be awareness of the thinking, there's less likely to be awareness of the visible object?
It depends.
What does it depend on?
On accumulation and reality which appears.
Right. No rule then?
No rule at all. No counting.
I don't say that thinking is more than seeing. I don't say that it has a...
But seeing just a single moment and thinking many moments. But it doesn't look like that, because even at moment of thinking, there's also seeing. At what time can there be only thinking without seeing?
Dream.
When awareness is aware and right understand only a characteristic at a time. But now, even there is thinking at that very moment, but there is also seeing almost all the time too.
Mm-hmm.
it seems like seeing more than thinking, right? Because even there is no thinking, like blank, but there is seeing.
In regard to your question about pleasant feeling that arises when we are discussing, Ajahn, when understanding is weak, can it be possible to know the difference between pleasant feeling that arises with kusala moment and akusala, pleasant feeling that arises with akusala?
Banya knows.
So cannot be known before banya is
no,
strong?
Never.
Right. So there is much confusion around this.
Now, with what? Pleasant feeling. See? They're all gone, so impossible to know.
And back to Tom's question. It seems that there's some rupa experience here and not here, and as you pointed out, one kalapa cannot be known. So actually it's only thinking about it that it's here and not there, and it's only vijnana nimitta or rupa nimitta. But even when we say it's only vijnana nimitta or rupa nimitta, when there's an idea of here and not there, it seems it's thinking about that rupa.
Also vijnana nimitta and rupa nimitta. As just one single root, reality cannot be experienced.
Just to clarify about the pleasant and unpleasant feeling, the difference cannot be known because it has fallen away or because understanding is not strong enough.
Both.
Both.
I was listening on one of your tapes about Atta Dipateya, Loka Dipateya, and Dhamma Dipateya.
The last one is the best.
This was a few years ago. And Atta Dipateya is just when there is understanding conditioned by.
I think that it talks about kusala. Whether it's done or motivated by atta.
Yeah. For your whether you do it for your own sake,
or for the sake of other people, the world, scope, or for the sake of Dhamma, just for Dhamma and not thinking of any advantage for yourself. And that's the purest way of kusala. It's the best one.
Yeah, but I think atta doesn't mean the self. I don't think it means the self, it means...
For yourself, in conventional sense...
For oneself, not
for oneself.
And the sutras
we read about oneself, but it doesn't mean there is a self, but in the way of speaking you can use that word.
Kusala for oneself?
Yeah, for your you like
for
it.
For the self,
because
like...
Because you are afraid to go to hell.
And Loka Dipateya is for the sake of
helping others? The world.
What other people will say or think about you.
Thank you.
So that's for the self. What other people say or think about you is...
Concerning the world or the others,
you
not yourself.
The world, yeah.
You don't like the other to think of you that way.
Dhamma Dipateya.
It's like the first one is like the example we used yesterday when, because of clinging to oneself or happy rebirth, for example, one performs dana, or out of attachment to
getting certain results, so there must be some dana, but it's quite weak. So at the moment of giving, it's kusala, but it's actually motivated by clinging to oneself. So that's an example of the first
one. And the second
one? And the second one is perhaps one does some good deeds, like one gives a big donation because one would like the praise of the rest of the people at the foundation or one's family or something else, so, or one would like to have good standing in society. So there is some kusala, it's dana, but again, it's for the sake, for because it's motivated by one's concern about the world. And only the third one, which is just for the sake of dharma, just for the sake of kusala in itself, is the highest kind. So for that, there has to be understanding.
And so it has to be the present moment in order to find out. I will think of your kusala this morning when you helped and giving me breakfast. And I cannot know your chitta. Maybe you didn't do it for your own sake. Maybe you didn't do for that other people would see you doing it. So it's for the sake of Dhamma then.
But it was sasankarika.
I told him to.
That is okay. It's all by condition, so we don't worry
and
at all.
Tomorrow it would be sankarika.
We don't worry at all. It's all by conditions.
Thinking of going out for your own sake or for the others' sake.
When there's the concern, for example, about Nina's well-being, then in that case it would be the second kind?
Still guessing and thinking.
You try to work it out again.
Yeah, but because I didn't get the difference between the first and the second one.
The first and the second, yeah.
If you don't know what happens.
But at least in theory.
No, I mean it. If you don't look at the book, if you don't do that, then what?
If I don't do what?
Good deeds, helping the others, or whatever, wholesome deeds, if you don't do.
Well, when there are opportunities to do, and if I don't do, then
if you do, if you do, for what?
I think it can be different in different situations. Sometimes it can be just for me, and sometimes because it's the concern for other well-being. But I don't know if this.
I don't think that's the matter, the concern for other being that is then pure metta or karuna or wanting to help. But it's more like you think of what other people will think of you.
Ah, okay.
More in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the first one, because it seems to me that when you are concerned about what others will think of me, it's the same than the first one. That is also for me, isn't it? No.
The first one, you don't think of the others at all. Just your own result. Like you don't want to go to hell. Or you don't care what people will think about you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just want to be a good person, for example, or to have be the person who has a lot of metta. Or the person who has gets good results.
Mm-hmm. But again, this is by accumulation, isn't it? By accumulation.
So now, for what? Or is now? Because we can read. But what about now? who can answer except your own self. If it's for understanding, it's for the sake of Dhamma. But if you'd like to know, to understand better, it's your own sake, it's the attatipati.
Has to be understanding for the sake of understanding, not only understanding for me.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate her point a little bit because, for example, one's just helping Nina down the step and it's not for oneself and it's not because one has any concern about what others may think, for example, and it's not for the sake, there may not be any understanding at all, so it's not for the sake of understanding or for the sake of Dhamma. One may never have heard of the Buddha's teachings, but one, it's just with a moment of metta concern for the other's welfare. So
when it's not the two, it's the last one.
It must
one.
Be the last that's included.
When we say for the sake of Dhamma, for the sake of understanding, does that come back to an understanding or a belief that although we talk about all realities arising and falling away, there is the understanding that every moment of banya is valuable, not as ours, but just as a moment
or
of banya.
Or when it's not the one of the two, then it's the last one. For example, understanding the noise.
Different sounds, so many sounds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What for?
Because there's some value for understanding in that. Not necessarily.
At that moment, no idea about this or that, just understands.
But just that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Here, loka doesn't mean kanda, doesn't it? Loka dipateya. Loka is a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Then kanda.
Right.
Is this the same word atipati as in aramana atipati, pachaya atipati?
It's not only aramana which is atipati. There's also other reality which is atipati.
What we're talking about here, Dhamma atipati.
Like Chanda is atipati too. Yeah. Chanda.
Dhamma atipati and Loka atipati, same word, atipati.
Same word.
So what does atipati mean?
Great, big.
Predominant.
Predominant, okay, thank
so
you.
So what is the predominant?
We have two words, atipati and indriya. So now, what atipati of discussion now? Or virya? Or panya?
Yes.
Either one. So who knows? For Kuntam is chanda? Yeah. And for Kun Metta, Chanda, oh, let's see. And Kun Jonathan?
Chanda.
Oh.
I actually got
Banya. It depends on the moment, but I was so tired and sleepy and I had to struggle. So it was really virya that was at
those
moments.
That's why if we talk about atipati, we can know now, not just from the book.
Yeah.
That's why the question is for now. What atipati?
Yeah.
What atipati for now?
For now. Chanda.
Okay, still chanda.
Yeah.
Keeps on. Me chanda. As atipati.
Then there's chanda, no need for virya.
listening.
And when you talk with understanding, that is Panya mm-hmm. as a Tipati.
And Chitta, more difficult to...
Anything without these.
Without these. If it's if it's not Chanda, Virya or Panya that's obvious, then it's Chitta.
Yeah, just going on by Chitta. So now, Chanda for what?
Food.
For food. That's why when we talk about anything, it's there to be understood. So you have Virya now as a Tipati?
Yes, it's sometimes difficult to...
As long as we sit here, you have Virya as a Tipati.
Yes, yes.
So if someone goes to the foundation every week to listen to the Dhamma, and when it's not Chanda, not Virya, not Panya, then it's Chitta.
Lopa Mula Chitta can be there too.
But you mentioned that when they are not the three, then it's Chitta.
Yes, so Lopa Chitta, Lopa Mula Chitta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it can be kusala as well as a kusala.
Chitta, the rest is chitta.
Like Ajahn's talked about how someone may be listening to her talking at the foundation. There may not be any kusala or very little. It may be maybe a lot of loba or thinking about other topics or. We can have no idea at all by the appearance. Even ditti, even totally misunderstanding what is said.
But there is chanta dukkham, see? Because chanta can arise with either kusala or akusala.
Yes.
And here also.
Anywhere.
Here also.
Yeah.
Someone may not have much interest. They may just be accompanying their friend or their husband, so maybe very little interest.
Yeah, and also there can be some moments and then different moments.
Yes, but I know my chanda. I don't have chanda for writing at all. It takes pain, writing.
It takes what?
Pain.
Pain. Yes. Nina has a lot of chanda.
Yeah, yes, she has chanda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have not the same chanda, not for writing.
No, but they are very good at speaking.
I have that.
Yeah.
But usually it's with Virya because you know that I like to hear more to speak, more than speaking. I like hearing so much. I always happy when I listen to the teachings. But I have to, that's it. So it can be not with chanda, exactly. Any kind. Yeah. So talking is all right, but if you ask me to write, impossible.